Vinny White Show on In-Depth Radio, News Talk 1010.
Starting to wonder if the introduction to the song is bigger when I haven't prepared more. I think it might be, but don't tell them! Don't tell them! We'll just fill it with ambiguous and rather bizarre attempts at singing. Hello, my name is Vinny White. I'm on for an hour. Oh my God, how am I going to fill it? Not the first time I've asked that. 416-872-1010 on the phone if you would like to get involved. I suppose I should tell you what we're going to talk about. I should do much more of an introduction. Left you lost and cold out there. Well, you've got the name. Twitter, if you're interested. I wouldn't bother too much. I haven't done anything on it for a week. But, you know, it's good to promote yourself. Vinny White on Twitter. Facebook, Vinny White. I'll do. Can't be bothered. So, had road rage today on a Sunday. Only in Toronto. It's almost impossible to be angry on the road on a Sunday unless you're driving in Toronto. I woke up in Ottawa. It was a heavy night. No, I woke up in Ottawa. I was in my friend's cottage for the weekend. Or if you're listening in the US, cabin, I believe. Which is great, because I've never been lucky enough to have friends with a cottage until fairly recently. I mean, it's actually, technically, he lives there. It's his house. But it's kind of cottage-like, you know. And he's got a boat, and we went out in the water. And it was the lifestyle of the rich and famous. Jetting around on a boat, Ottawa River. Loved it. Barbecue, beers. I don't think they've quite got their knickers in a knot about drinking outside in Quebec, as they have here in Ontario. I was on the Quebec side. Lots of people running around on bicycles with onions around their neck and other stereotypes from 1922. But it was good. Liked it. It's nice. And then I drove home. Beautiful. Sun shining. Had a big, is it a Chrysler 300? Pimpmobile. Looked very much like I was doing some human trafficking. Terrible looking vehicle. I mean, it looks good, but it's not me. You know, when I had a car before I gave it up because I moved to Toronto and realised I was going to kill myself if I attempt to drive for more than one day. When I had a car, I had a Mini. So to go to this thing, which is the size of a small but definite cabin of its own. It's a cabin with wheels, a black, sexy cabin with wheels. I should imagine, and this is a terrible stereotype, but I'm fairly confident, it is the car of choice for dealers of the drugs. So it's not really me, but I felt a bit good in it. It's huge. King of the road, I was. Giving it the big full beams behind everyone. Yeah, I'm that guy. You're welcome. Well, get out of the fast lane then. It's called the fast lane. Not the 95 kilometres an hour lane, Muppet. Why should I have to go on the inside of you? That's not the system. Look at the lights. Look at the pimpmobile. Snooch yourself over. Yeah? It's the one place in life I can be confident. If you met me in a pub and we had a fight, you'd beat the crap out of me. Let me have my 5 minutes. So I drove back and I got to Toronto and I was running a bit late to bring the car back to a well-known car rental association who will remain nameless. And I got stuck in traffic. Oh, it was hell on earth. I needed a pee. I had 15 minutes to get across town and I had to fill the car up with gas. If you're listening in England, yeah, I did say gas. I know, they're crazy here. They call a fluid gas. I know, no science brains. It's amazing that North America came up with the whole flying thing. Well done, the Wright brothers. But yeah, I put gasoline, well, I wanted to put gasoline in the car and yeah. Couldn't believe it. I just couldn't find a gas station. Where are they all? There's like two on Spadina and that's it for the whole of downtown. Because you know what? They've turned them into condos because we need a few more of them. With kooky names like View and Blue and Blue and Pivot. And there's one, I've just noticed there's one being built on Yonge and Richmond called Yonge and Rich. Piss off. I couldn't live there for that. Where'd you live? Yonge and Rich. Shut up. What are you, an 80s yuppie? The marketing department on that. Well, who's going to move in? Well, young people. Have they got money? Yeah, they're rich. Where is it? Young and Richmond. Lunch break? Done. Anywho, I had to go for a pee. And you know when you need a pee and you're in a rush, and I had to prepare for this show, which I have done. And I had lots of stuff to do. But more than anything else, there was just a little bit of wee was coming out. It was that desperate because I hadn't gone since Mallory Town, which if ever you, I don't even know if that's actually a town. I think it's more of a service station than a town. And I had to wait 15 minutes for my sandwich. Not I'm owning about it. It's all right. You paid minimum wage and you live in Mallory Town. I'm not going to get my knickers in a knot about it. But 15 minutes for a sandwich did put me back. So I was just about to pee myself, and then I realised I had to fill up the car full of gas. I got stuck on Spadina. People that block the intersection, is hanging too good for them? Is it? I know it's pretty hardcore, but, you know, we heard last week what Rob Ford once said about cyclists, and he'd get away with it. So people that block the intersection, hang them. I mean, cut them down before they die. You know, I'm not barbaric. I don't believe in the capital punishment either. But, oh, it's just so annoying. And you know when you can see their face, like, it's your turn to go, you've got a green light, and there's this Muppet block the intersection. He's got 2 feet in front of him, but he thinks he's driving a jumbo jet, so he can't possibly go forward. And you're looking at him, and you can see his face. He's like there. He's right there, right in your face. And you're like, hey! He knows you're there. He can't look around because he's embarrassed. So what does he do? Picks his nose. Don't give me that show. You know I'm looking. I'm there. 2 feet from you. So I got it back, and it turns out that I didn't fill it up with gas enough. So they charged me the rate for filling it up, which is standard. Now, I take the blame because it was a bit foolish of me. I didn't realise that the pump hadn't filled the car. So there was like, I don't know, and then maybe a... Not even an eighth, okay? Certainly not a quarter of a tank. Not even an eighth. It was just slightly not on the full to the brim. You know how much they charge for topping it up? Just for that bit was $36. It's $3.70 a litre if you forget to fill your car up with gas. And then I because I was late, I couldn't go to any other gas station because that takes 2 to 3 million years. So why am I telling you this? If you wouldn't mind making a cheque to Vinnie White for $36... and send it to Bell. Don't make it out to Bell Media. They're fine. Vinnie White, Bell Media. And while you're there, Elliot, the producer. How much do you want, Elliot?
Oh, my cut, you mean?
Yeah, you might as well get something.
$70 would be great.
Okay, love it. You're going for double me. What's your last name?
Minardi.
Good luck with that. Okay, make those checks payable. Vinnie White and Elliot, what's his face? And we'll cash them. Thanks. I'll get something out of this. I had a great time at the cottage, and or the cabin, if you're listening in America. And it was a beautiful thing. And before we move on to other things, including a pastor that claims gay people are possessed by fart demons, my take on the Mississauga man that went nuts on a plane, and the guy that wrote a spreadsheet, all that stuff coming up in the Vinnie White Show. But before we take on that, I just want to reflect on the cabin or the cottage for the weekend with this little ditty.
Ooh, come with me, girl. I want to take you to a place where it's just you and me. To my cabin. Let me take you to my favorite place. Just a 5-hour drive from the city. Just follow the road until it stops, and then keep walking for another 40 minutes. Then out of nowhere, there it is, my cabin. Right now it's icy cold, but in 16 hours it's gonna be hot. I'm gonna make you dinner, babe. I hope you like spaghetti. Then we do the dishes manually, with over 15 different kinds of cutlery. Yeah.
60 square meters of heaven on earth, a tiny wooden paradise. It's my own private pine wood, Taj Mahal, except for the shape and the size. The cabin,
where I come to relax.
The cabin.
cabin.
Wear the same pants for a week.
The cabin.
I've got skis on my walls, on my
cabin.
One day this place will be mine. Only split it with my brother, sister, father, uncle, and his lover. And if you like to piss outside, this is definitely the place for you. Cause I've been pissing over here and pissing over there. What time I even pissed over here? But you should never ever outside. We have a small separate cabin for that kind of stuff. We can hang stuff on a wall together, as long as it's copper or dead anymore.
Dead anymore.
And who, that man on the wall? Dad? Dad? Is that you?
Who put my dad inside the wall?
Don't you worry, I'm gonna get you out of here. Oh, it's a big chair.
It's a tiny one.
It's my paradise of
wood. Private pine wood, Taj Mahal.
Yeah,
except for the shape and the size.
It has a shape, it has a size. You should really come here sometime.
Kevin,
come on, we've been married for 10 years.
Kevin.
I miss you so much, and I don't understand it.
No, why don't you come to my cabin?
We can play some China chess.
The cabin.
And take a long cold shower together.
The cabin.
I got 49 cards ready to be played with.
And a joker from another deck.
Impossible spot.
We can just walk and walk and walk and walk and walk.
The cabin.
You know there's no such thing as bad weather. Only bad clever when you come up to my cabin.
It's going out to everyone that's driving back from the cabin.
If you're lucky enough to have been in Muskoka or some of the other slightly less expensive places to get away from it all.
My cabin.
Embarrassing. I took all my clothes off during that. I don't see how you cannot do that. Sorry, Elliot.
Okay.
Could you have you got a sort of a dock leaf or something?
I'll fetch one.
It really doesn't need to be a big leaf or a fig leaf. Send me a text. Today's texting is, what should we do with people that block the intersection? And I have an idea. I think for every second that they blocked the intersection, they should spend underwater. Hmm? Punishment fits the crime. Again, I don't want to kill anyone. Just scare them. If it starts getting a bit dangerous, whip them out. Just give them a quick slap with a fish. It's the right thing to do. What should we do with people that block intersections? And by this, I mean you've got the green light, but you can't go anywhere because some Muppet thought he could make it and realised he's stuck in traffic. Or she. 7-10-10. What should we do with them? Is death too good? Is it? I'm just introducing the concept. I'm not backing it. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to talk about Starbucks. They've opened their first store in Colombia. Really? Honestly? Yeah, they've been using their beans for 43 years and now they've decided to give them their own expensive cup. So we'll talk about that and so much other stuff. But throughout the show, let me know your thoughts on what we can do with people that block intersections. 7-10-10. We'll be back in a mo.
You're tuned in to The Vinnie White Show on In-Depth Radio, News Talk 1010.
News Talk. News Talk 1010. How are you? 7-10-10 if you want. Vinny, it's a passing lane, not a fast lane. If everyone used it, there would be no such problem, says Brent. Fair enough. Point taken. I actually agree with you. But you pass fast, or you pass fast, depending on your background. Okay. That's not really what the texter wanted, though. My text really is, if you could text in on 71010 and say, what punishment should we give to people that block the intersection? I mean, other than the obvious, you know, points and a fine. Boring. First one said, pour scalding hot coffee over their head. Nice. Creative. Bit much. Lukewarm coffee or red wine. That's a bugger to get out. But then, of course, you're relying on people having standards, aren't you? And it's going to affect more people with white shirts and expensive upholstery in their cars. It's tricky. It's tricky. Another one says, multiple slaps with multiple wet fish. Good. Very Monty Python-esque. Big fan. I say, go a bit harder. Frozen fish. Come on, they're blocking the box. It's not right. 71010, let me know your thoughts. Starbucks! It's opened its first store in Colombia recently, which means that after 43 years, the company will finally sell 100% locally produced coffee to the locals. Hurrah! We're only serving Colombia coffee in the store. We've never done anything like this before, said the Starbucks chief executive officer, even, Howard Schultz. Over the next 5 years, Starbucks plans to open 50 stores and hire 1,000 workers in Colombia. Seattle-based Starbucks has been buying coffee from Colombia since its debut in 1971. The company has more than 20,000 stores now in 65 countries. But it'll be hard for the chain to break into the market, which is dominated actually by a different company, a national coffee producer, Juan Valdez Cafe. I think we need to come here with the humility and respect, he said. The success we've had around the world doesn't mean that we're going to be successful here, stated the chief executive officer. I'm sure he said that while he beat the living daylights out of a piñata with "our competition" written on it. So execs always do that, don't they, when they're not in the boardroom? Well, I mean, it's a, you know, it's kind of a fair marketplace, and it'll be an interesting challenge. I'm going to crush them into the ground like our coffee. Regarding their main competitor, he said, I think we'll coexist with Juan Valdez. Our intent is not to overtake them, but again, to create a distinct experience. And I think we'll do that. Yeah, the distinct Starbucks experience. Starbucks, by the way, I don't know if you know this here in Canada, but let me tell you something. In the UK last year, they had $700 million worth of sales, US dollars, all right? $700 million worth of sales, about £400 million. How much corporation tax do you think they paid in the UK last year? Have a little think about that. Got a figure? Yep, zero. Absolutely none. How? It transferred some money to a Dutch sister company in royalty payments. It brought its coffee beans from Switzerland. Switzerland, the well-known coffee producer, the well-known landlocked European country with the Alps in it that makes coffee. Yes, it bought them from Switzerland. Did they come from Switzerland? No. But because they were stored there, I think this is how it works, I think because they were stored there for a certain amount of time, technically they're from Switzerland. And if you know Switzerland and banking, you'll know tax dodge. So that's how it did it. And it paid high interest rates to borrow from other parts of the business. So you borrow a couple of hundred million off one part of the business, pay loads back, right, in interest, pay 150. But it's still your business. You're just moving money around. So you don't have to pay tax on it. So thanks for that. And by the way, in case you haven't been to the UK, Starbucks, there's more on the streets of London than there are on the streets of Toronto, for sure. Even per capita. They are everywhere. So they should be paying some money. He said, we held the line as long as we could before we went into Colombia to set up shops. Now we only have to... now we've had to put up our prices. Great! He explained that Starbucks recently raised its prices due to rising labour costs and price hikes in competitors. So now we only have to pay, what, $200 a cup now, isn't it? How much is that ground bean and hot water? It's true, though, isn't it? It's like, it's a few bucks. And then if you get the special, you know, the Grande Frappe Cappuccino Latte with a twist of Thai melon and half a pumpkin and the oil of angel's tears, then it's, let me just have a look, $3 million. It's mental. Starbucks could break you. But how do you get your own back? Well, let me tell you. I love the internet. There is a way how to get your own back if you're fed up with Starbucks avoiding Tash, pushing independents out of business, or having silly names for their drinks like... I hate that when you go in there and you go, can I have a large coffee? Oh, you mean grande? No, I mean a large coffee because, you know, the coffee, it's quite large. And last time I checked, A, we're not in Italy, and B, I'm not Italian. How do you get them back? Well, you can get a free Starbucks drink, right? And then you spend the voucher on the most expensive drink you can. So I think they've got a loyalty scheme. I don't go to Starbucks, as you may be able to tell, unless they advertise with this company, in which case they are actually very good. I'm very shallow. But if you do go to Starbucks and you have a loyalty card and at the end of it you get a free drink, this is how you do it. There's an underground, unofficial movement on the web. Honestly, it's getting people to clean Starbucks out with their free drink coupon. So if you get a free drink coupon at Starbucks, what you do, you try and get the most expensive drink that they do. And people have been posting their receipts and then a picture of the drink that they ordered. So, as I say, because the rule is that any drink is free, right, when you've got the free drink. I don't know how many coffees you have to buy to get that, but whatever. Caffeine Informer is the name of the website, and it has the most competitive records on this competitive sport. And they maintain a ranking of the biggest drinks. Anyone trying to get the most out of Starbucks voucher has now gone to this website. The best one so far, let me see the total value here. It's $71. it's a coffee. Let's see what this is. Let's be honest. I'm not sure you could get away with this, but it's worth a bash. 5 Frappuccino roast coffee. 77 shots. 77 shots. That's $61.60. And then to add more expense, you add a caramel drizzle, protein powder, a vanilla bean, a vanilla drizzle, a hazelnut drizzle, an Italian roast drizzle, all at 60 cents a piece, plus your tax. Bob's your uncle. $71.35. Ker-ching. And there's a picture of this thing. It's a vat. She's actually brought in a cooler. You know, a proper cooler. Cool box. What do you call it here? I always forget this.
Cooler.
Is it a cooler? Yeah. But then the drink, the summary drink is also a cooler, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Redundancy, yeah.
Yeah, this is one of the weirdest words, actually, internationally, because here it's a cooler. In England, it's a cool box. In Australia, it's an esky. And my favourite, in New Zealand, it's a chalabin. It's a chalabin. Because it's a bin and it's chilly. Chalabin. So there you go. They poured the coffee into this giant thing. And now I've managed to get $71.35 drink out of Starbucks. So I'm not saying you should do this. I'm just heavily employing it. When we come back, we'll talk about so much to cover. First of all, we're going to keep getting your text on what we should do with people that block intersections. So far, slap them with fish, pour hot coffee over them. Oh, this one's just come in. Not sure it's fair, but someone's asking them to put something in somewhere. I think you know what I'm saying. I think you've got an imagination. You're as filthy as me. So you can keep texting in your suggestions on 71010. When we come back, we're going to talk about a pastor that claims that gay people are possessed by fart demons and that they drive pigs to suicide. Yes, I don't think you could make it up.
This is the Venny White Show on In Depth Radio, News Talk 1010.
Pastor claims gay people are possessed by fart demons that could drive pigs to suicide. I better say it again because it's a lot to take in. Pastor claims that gay people are possessed by fart demons that can drive pigs to suicide. Doesn't make any more sense the third time. This would be funny. Well, it is quite funny, but it would be more funny if it wasn't for the fact that I actually know of people that give 10% of their salary to the church in the southern states of America. And some of that money, if you're a millionaire, that's $100,000. And there's a lot of millionaires in the southern states, in the Bible Belt. So these churches are very well funded. And people like this sometimes end up getting the money. And that, to me, is beyond bonkers. But if you want to hear bonkers, here he is. Bert Faris, founder of the Holy Fire Ministries in America, claims to know the raw naked truth about why people are gay. They are possessed by fart demons. Yes, fart demons. Demons of farts. Faris claims that in choosing to be gay, and you do choose to be gay, a person chooses to engage in unclean demonic practices. Once that happens, they become possessed by putrid-smelling demons, so stinky, that they can drive pigs to suicide. Faris begged gay people not to get upset with me, he said, as he explained his groundbreaking new theory. You'll see that I'm actually trying to help you. Actually, I should try my southern states. Don't get upset with me. You'll see I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to help y'all, if you'll just give me the chance. He assured them. Homosexuality is actually a demon spirit sent from Jesus. It is such a putrid smelling demon that other demons don't even like to hang around it. Everything I'm saying, just then, by the way, I know it sounds like I'm probably just pulling that out of nowhere and it's just me being an idiot. He said that. Homosexuality is a demon spirit. It is such a putrid smelling demon that other demons don't even like to hang around it. I'm not sure where he's from. I think he spent some time in Russia. He then went to recount a story from the Bible to illustrate his fascinating point. There is an account in the Bible where Jesus cast 2,000 demons out of a man. The demons came out screaming and begged Jesus to send him back to the pigs. The pigs didn't want them, so they ran down a steep hill and killed themselves by drowning themselves in the sea, he said. Pigs have more sense than humans, he added, getting to his definitely logical conclusion. People embrace homosexual demons, but the pigs would rather die than be possessed with the demons, he said. And how exactly does this pastor, who is paid by the church, tax-free in the United States, know all of this? One of God's prophets recently phoned him to let him know. He said, a genuine prophet of God told me this, and there is no doubt in my mind. I said, well, I should have watched the Forrest Gump before doing this, I think. Would have helped. Farias also warned that the growing acceptance of homosexuality in the United States today is a sign from the man upstairs that our society is in the last stages of decay and there will be a severe, destructive, physical, emotional and spiritual consequences. You can mark my words, he said. I wonder if he knows that the Greek and Roman empires had quite a sort of chilled out attitude to same-sex behaviours often differed wildly from those in contemporary Western society. Lots of Roman chaps were at it with other Roman chaps. Lots of Greek chaps were at it with other Greek chaps. I don't think anyone really cared. Perhaps he thinks that that's what toppled their empire, and that's probably what he thinks is going to topple the American empire. I don't know. I don't know what he thinks. He might think that cats play basketball in his bathroom. He probably does. This is the problem, you see. I'm trying to add logic to a nutter. An absolute nutter. A nutter, by the way, in a position of authority. You're listening to The Vinnie White Show. In conclusion, Farias said, our culture's acceptance and celebration of gay behaviour will never make it right. Wrong is wrong, no matter how many people are for it. And right is right, no matter how many people are against it. Which is the sort of simplistic, meaningless nonsense that some people will shout, yeah, at. Yeah, that's right, whatever you said, with definite emphasis on each syllable, but didn't really make sense. But I've always been told to believe in people like you and everything you say, so I just won't question it. Yeah! Is he saying that farts are gay? Is that what he's saying? Because if they are, I was so gay this morning. I had a few Guinnesses last night. I tell you what, I was gay this morning. Everyone in the room knew I was gay. Even passengers on the bus that I was on this morning in Ottawa. Sorry about that. Yeah, I love that. When I say I love that, I hate it, by the way, just to make that perfectly clear. That last statement. Wrong is wrong no matter how many people are for it, and right is right no matter how many people are against it. What does that mean? Reminds me of a song. You know? Maybe a little bit of... America! We had quite a lot of work to bleep this out, actually. Things I do for you and your children. So there you go. Text the show, 71010. Quick text just come in. Two very different topics. That's why I go to Tim's, said someone, referring to the coffee story earlier. That's very sad that people still feel this way. My cousin is gay and a great man, said someone on text. All right, I have no doubt we could list a million people that are gay and fantastic right now. It's tragic that everyone doesn't realise that it just doesn't matter. Ugh! Now then, on to other things. So what do you think about this guy that went a bit bonkers on the plane the other day? A man from Mississauga, accused of making bomb threats while on a Sunwing flight to Panama on Friday, was released on bail this weekend. But Ali, is it Shahi? Forgive me if I get the name wrong. I think it's Ali Shahi. Won't be going home just yet. After many hours of negotiations behind closed doors inside the courthouse, the 25-year-old Mississauga man's parents arranged for their son to be taken directly to a hospital for psychiatric care. I hope finally someone will do something. A visibly relieved Simon, his father, said outside court yesterday, explaining his son's son needs some serious help for mental health issues that he suffered since he was a teenager. While he was with his wife... What? Oh, well, sorry. While he and his wife were paying the $1,000 bond to get him out of jail, they did not want their son to come home with them. They feel that the best place for him right now is getting some mental health care, which is kind of cool, right? I think that's not... I'm kind of cool with that, right? I mean, I don't know the whole story, and it's difficult to cast aspersions, but I think, obviously, this guy's got severe psychological problems, and as parents, they've tried to... well, we don't know how hard they've tried, but it would be... they're certainly trying now to get him the attention that he clearly needs. He became very upset 45 minutes after the plane took off, apparently, when he learned on Saturday morning that cigarettes were cheaper on the plane than at the duty-free shop at Pearson International Airport. Now, what's the logical reaction to the knowledge that he may have lost a few dollars on cigarettes? Well, he made a threat against the aircraft. And you know what? Now? I mean, never really, but definitely not now. You know what I'm saying? It was never that clever. But now, no. The alleged threat prompted the crew to turn around the flight and head back to Toronto on Saturday morning. And two F-16 fighter jets accompanied Flight 772 until it cleared US airspace. Two F-16 fighter jets accompanied the flight at a cost. Do you know how much it is to get an F-16 up in the air? $22,000 an hour. So that's $44,000 and then some. $45,000. I was never the quickest of cats. $45,000 to get these planes up. I don't know who pays for that because it was in the States. I don't know if they charged the airline or what. Bit of an overreaction, I say. But then, you know, thinking about it. Yeah! Hold my things and juggle them a little bit. Cleaned up. That's enough. If you haven't seen Team America, by the way, even if you've got work tomorrow, watch it tonight. You know you deserve it. Have a glass of wine. Watch Team America tonight. As soon as the show's finished. No, actually, listen to the rest of the News Talk 1010 programming till about midnight, because that is a stellar lineup right here on News Talk 1010. And then later on, you can watch that. like anyone listens to me. Shut up, you British idiot. Do what I want. So there you go. He's got no criminal record. His dad said that he's had some 23 encounters with the police in recent years because of his outburst. So, yeah, clearly needs some help upstairs. Ali Shahi was on the plane somewhere over West Virginia with his long-term girlfriend, which proves, by the way, what's going on here? He's got a long-term girlfriend. She must be patient. My goodness. You can imagine the conversation. Because apparently the parents paid for him and the girlfriend to go away to Panama for a relaxing holiday because it'd been a bit difficult recently and they thought it would do him good. So I can only assume the girlfriend said, like, on the way to the airport, right, Ali, We've had a few rough trots recently. You and I, not always seen eye to eye. You've had a few outbursts. Your parents have paid for this trip. So I'm not telling you what to do because I know you don't like that. But can we just have a nice holiday? We can look at the engineering feat that is the canal when we're down there. We can buy a silly Panama hat. We can drink a cocktail. We can sit on the beach. We could take a trip to one of the very exquisite islands. Yeah? So just don't lose it on anyone on this trip. All right? And if you do, can you make it towards the end of the... 20 minutes later. So, I mean, it's tragic. And I want him to... I want him to get some help. And first text, whoa, you're telling me the whole plane thing from last week was about the cost of a pack of smokes? Well, yeah, I mean, that was the catalyst. I don't know what he said, but I do know I was quite amazed by the reaction because here's me thinking, America, yeah, we're the only ones that overreacted. I'm not sure that the Canadians didn't either. Six guys stormed the plane, shotguns, told everyone to put their hands up. I mean, just what the hell's going on?
Oh, we have to take every threat very seriously.
Yeah, but it's just going mental and moaning about a pack of smokes. It's taking it seriously and scaring the life out of poor children that didn't even know what was going on at the back of the plane. I mean, if it was America. Yeah! Can you imagine what they'd have done? Storm it! Storm it! Fill it full of gas. Tear gas. A lot of them. I thought Canada, you'd just send a couple of like, fluffy cats in. Well, I suppose a beaver would be more appropriate. Just say, you know what I mean? Everyone could just sort of hug that. Free Timmies. Everyone just sort of have 5 minutes, apologise to each other, go on with your flight. That's the way it should be. Shame I don't run the show. When we come back, we're doing another break. So much to cover. Spider-Man attacked a policeman in New York. And I want to talk about the spreadsheet of excuses, which I know is a bit of an old story, but I'm quite interested in it. All that coming up, if we've got time, on News Talk 1010. News Talk 1010, Vinny White Show. I'll just say it. He's got a lovely voice, but I haven't got time. So, right. What's going on? I was in Ottawa for the weekend. I want to say hello to everyone there. I used to live there. I love it. I do. It's so quaint and nice and pleasant and people talk to each other and there's less road rage. A bit boring midweek, but it's great on the weekend. I don't work for the tourist board there. I don't know if you noticed. Ottawa, great on the weekend. Pretty dull midweek unless you've got children, but very safe. There was a fire, actually, yesterday in Ottawa, and it was a bit sad. I think it was arson, and it destroyed a bloodmobile, a blood bank. Yeah, but they're trying to be positive about it. They're trying to be positive about. Is it? Hello? Is this on? They're trying to be positive. Fine. See if I care. Spider-Man attacks police. A man dressed as Spider-Man was arrested on charges when he slugged a police officer this weekend in Times Square. America! No, not again. Junior Bishop. Never trust anyone called Junior. Their dad was egocentric. Junior Bishop, 25, of Brooklyn, was charged with assaulting an officer, resisting arrest and criminal mischief. The New York Police Department said the officer assaulted on Saturday stepped in after Spider-Man demanded at least $5, lady. I want at least $5, lady, said Spider-Man to a woman as he posed for a picture with her and her child. Instead, she gave him a $1 tip. It's nice, isn't it? It's all right. Get that. Get that 200 times a day. Ka-ching. Tax-free. Take the dollar. But apparently he said, no, I only take fives, tens and twenties, lady. A police officer saw him saying this and reminded Spider-Man that actually he's only supposed to accept tips and he can't require payment by law. He's not offering a service, right? So Bishop yelled and cursed at the police, shouting, mind your own frickin' business, although he didn't say frickin'. Police said the officer asked for identification and when Bishop failed to produce any, moved to arrest him. Now, in Spider-Man's defence... If you're a superhero, you shouldn't carry ID, should you? It undermines the whole superhero thing. Who's that? Batman. Check. Oh, it's Colin. Do you know what I mean? It's not how you do it. Spider-Man then broke free and punched the officer in the face, causing a cut to the eye and swelling. Spider-Man punched a cop and then off he ran. Other officers arrived and hauled Spider-Man away. Love it. It was the latest in a series of incidents. And this is why the world's screwed. Because this isn't a one-off. This is what I love. Series of incidents involving men behind the mask in Times Square. In the last 2 years, a man dressed as the Cookie Monster was charged with shoving a two-year-old person. Is a two-year-old a person?
Yeah, I suppose they are.
Why do you have to specify? A two-year-old? Didn't think it was a goat. Anyway, was shoving a two-year-old person. And someone else dressed as Super Mario was accused of groping a woman. Listen, I'm not saying it's right, because it's not right. In fact, I'm definitely saying it's wrong. But if you do like groping, dressing up as Super Mario is better than your normal everyday garb. Because everyone's going to be like, did he touch? Oh, he probably doesn't know where his hands are. Difficult. Not suggesting it at all. Make that very clear. The Cookie Monster was charged with shoving this two-year-old. Super Mario was doing this. And apparently there was an Elmo. Now, this one you might even have seen. Elmo figure pleaded guilty to disorderly conduct after unleashing anti-Semitic tirade. Now, I was so shocked by the thought of Elmo being anti-Semitic, I looked it up. And we actually have some audio of anti-Semitic Elmo. So if you can imagine a full-size, proper red furry fella doing this.
When you think of Elmo, you think of warm, fuzzy hugs, getting kids to eat vegetables, singing happy songs.
La la, la 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 la, Elmo song!
Well, this is Elmo's curse.
I work for John Gotti!
A guy dressed up as Elmo has been ranting in Central Park, yelling anti-Semitic slurs.
Jews will harass you!
He railed against Hindus.
You say f*** you Hindu to him.
Elmo needs his mouth washed out with soap.
Filthy, stinking f***! Filthy, stinking
f***! That is the scariest Elmo I've ever seen in my life.
It was such a weird sight that everyone was stopping to shoot videos and take pictures, among them Kathleen Loftus.
You know, people didn't want their kids to see that coming from Elmo.
And it's been going on for months, documented by videos posted to YouTube. Watch mom grab her kid.
I work for John Gotti. F*** you.
It was too much for another performer wearing a drum. He started pushing Elmo around.
Do I look like I'm playing with you? Come over here and start cursing at around some kids, man.
And in Times Square, a guy dressed up as Shrek shooed Elmo away and was applauded. But minutes after his rants, Elmo cozies up to some unsuspecting kid. Characters pose, mostly with tourists, for money. And there are good Elmos out there.
So how do you tell the good Elmos from the bad Elmo? Look for the bag and the knee pads.
The knee pads are for all that kneeling he does with children. But this past weekend, things came to a head.
Tickle me, Elmo. Make that handcuff me, Elmo.
The ruckus he caused prompted police to put on the cuffs.
Read the International Jew by Henry Ford.
As police led him away, the crowd cheered.
So there you go. Love it. I love that Shrek won. You'd like to see that, wouldn't you? Because I'd always thought Shrek would win against Elmo. No, not an anti-Semitic Elmo. My mind's never gone quite that far till now. But there you go. Last month, a different Spider-Man was convicted as well. So this is a real outbreak of people that dressing up as superheroes. He was convicted of harassment for a February 2013 episode in which he cursed and complained that a woman did not offer him a tip after posing for a photograph with her children. Philip Williams was his name. Philip Williams later punched the woman in the face and knocked her to the ground. He said in court it was out of self-defence after she hurled snow at him. Well, that seems reasonable. Yeah, that seems reasonable. Well, I'm going to dress up as Spider-Man, punch a woman in the face in front of a kid because she hurled a snowball at me. Actually, can we prompt that song again? It just feels right. I make this man work so hard. Honestly, he's just too yelling. He's got the sweats.
Yeah, 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 y
Text me if you're in the United States this evening and you're still listening and haven't been grotesquely offended. Starbucks! All right, turn it down. If you are in America, by the way, thank you for listening. I know that our signal boosts there, and because of the old tinterweb, I always appreciate you listening. And do understand, I'm just a sarcastic British man. I mean no harm. The only reason I say this is because you've all got guns. Cover your arse, haven't you, really? Spreadsheet sex! I'll leave you on this note. You've probably heard about this. Last week, a spreadsheet compiled by an unsatisfied husband went viral. For a month, the husband jotted down every response from his wife when he asked her for intimacy. Hubba hubba ding dong. He got a lot of red cards, actually. I personally wouldn't make a spreadsheet. I would just leave. Call me old-fashioned. He then collated the information and put it in an Excel spreadsheet before cruelly emailing his wife as she arrived at the airport ahead of a 10-day business trip. So it's got all the reasons over the last month that she's turned him down. And some of them are brilliant. I'm watching the show, and he's even noticed it was a Friends rerun. Now that is going to hurt. Even if it wasn't a rerun. Really? I feel sweating gross. I need a shower. And then she didn't shower until the morning. Quite a few of the excuses were non-verbal. There was quite a lot of I'm exhausted. I still feel a bit tender from yesterday. That was after when he did get one over. You're too drunk. I feel gross. I'm not feeling good. I ate too much. Are all various excuses that were used. I still don't feel 100%. I might be getting sick. I'm too tired. I'm too tired. I'm too tired. A lot of men going, oh, I know this. And a lot of women too. Huh? Sometimes the fellas don't put out. It's a funny old world. I know women. None of them have ever asked me to do it for them. But, you know, I have met women that say he doesn't do it enough. Doesn't do the old horizontal jogging the way I want it. The worst one, I think, is the Friends one. But also, I'm watching my show and I don't want to miss anything. That's not good. I just came back from the gym. I feel gross. I won't have time to get showered and ready for dinner. And they were 20 minutes early. Oh! But I remember I did the same, actually, with my ex-girlfriend, which is why she's my ex-girlfriend. I kept a spreadsheet. I was very unsatisfied with our sex life. I compiled a spreadsheet of all the reasons she didn't want to have sexy times with me. I've still got it, actually. Let's have a look. We just did it, apparently. And one time she said she didn't want to have sex with me. So lots of different excuses, but this one really hurt. She said, not now, we're in Walmart. I mean, come on. Be open-minded. Seen a lot worse in Walmart. Always a pleasure, never a chore. Quite a good show. Bit of a dull ending. We'll finish with one of your texts. If someone blocks the intersection, they should be punished accordingly. Starvation for a month. Again, harsh listeners. But they need to be punished. Take care. Edward Keane is next. Bye. Oh, I'm in for Bullard tomorrow. 12 to 1. In for Bullard tomorrow. See you then.